You are listening to a special edition podcast for Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2. Of the Mighty Warrior C Marvel podcast. I am your host, Ben, aka the Marvelous Iggy. Joining me is my own personal Star Lord, Taser, welcome back.
Yo.
Joining me next up is the man who wishes he was Starhawk, Jonathan Coatwright. Jonathan, welcome back.
That depends on which Starhawk you're talking about, and if it's the comic one, yeah.
Last but not least, joining us is our very own little Rocky Raccoon, a little shit who really we want to get rid of, but we can't. Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back.
look, okay, I really want to be here, okay, and you can't get rid of me. I'm your own little trash panda, okay?
I'm just going to say that.
I'm just going to hang around outside and just hang around your trash, and you're just going to have to deal with that. I am your trash panda.
All right, well, we are here to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. In case you're wondering, this is going to be a spoiler show, which means if you haven't seen the movie by now, please do not listen further and watch the movie for yourself. Or if you just don't care, then go ahead and listen right on. But warning, we will be talking about certain plots of the movie. We will be talking about the good, the bad, and the nerdy. That is the second time in a row I've made that reference. Please, Andre, please do not sue me. I love your show. Hashtag collab. For life.
Hashtag big fan.
Hashtag big fan. I've said it last week. I've met him twice. Actually, I don't know if that made it onto the show. But I also want to apologize for the release of last week's episode. Brian decided to release the description late, which means I didn't edit it till later and I didn't get a chance and it fell over. So all in short, blame it on Fearless. There you go.
I didn't know that my descriptions dictated when you would edit.
Yes, because if you don't have it edited, I'm like, well, okay, I'll wait then. And then by the time I waited, that was a mistake. I'm going to do that again. But in this instance, I'm going to...
Actually, what happened is he didn't see it when he wanted to see it, so he went and played video games and said, screw it all. That's what it was, folks. Blame the Marvelous One.
The self-proclaimed Marvelous One. Anyway, let's go ahead and talk about the good of Guardians of the Galaxy. Because I feel like last time we hyped it up, it was a big angry fest with Taser. So let's start with you, because you actually have some slightly positive more things to say about this movie than the previous one. Care to explain yourself?
It didn't mind painful childhood memories. So yeah, I like this one a lot more. But, actually, that aside, I enjoyed it. And even in the first one, there was a lot of stuff to like. It's just that that thing hit way too close to home for me. There was nothing in that here. And point of fact, we found out something about Ego that was like, oh, kill his ass right now. And I was totally behind
anything. Go ahead and say what it is. Go ahead and say what it is.
We found out that Ego went and killed Peter's mom. He was responsible for putting the cancer in her head because Ego. So, yeah, as a matter of fact, that happened. He dropped that bit of info as Peter was mulling the whole, hey, I can do stuff, and I have powers now. And you saw the light go from his eyes.
Literally, in this case.
Yeah, and if it had been a rated R movie, you can imagine the nice, long sailor curse that would have came out of his mouth. No, better yet, marine curse. That would have came out of his mouth as he decided, you need to fucking die right now. And right then and there, bam, me and Star-Lord are in perfect alignment because he killed his mom. Fuck that guy, even if he's his dad, which is kind of tragic, but still in all, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this movie because it involved patricide. Not that I hated my dad, because I love my dad. My dad was a good man. But yeah, fuck that guy. Celestial my ass.
All right, John, you weren't here last week. What did you like about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2?
Okay, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was highly enjoyable to me. I loved everything from the really inventive.
The Ruta to the Tuta.
I loved the.
Look! I do not need to be sued. God, I cannot remember his name right now. What's his name?
Howard Stern?
No. I thought you were making a Tutti Frutti reference.
No,
I thought you were making a Little Richard reference.
Tutti Frutti!
Well, I mean, considering what that song is really about, I mean, I think
I love Little Richard.
Is
I love
penis, right?
Yeah, pretty sure it is.
I thought it was about Fruit Loops for a long
time. Yeah, exactly. Fruit Loops.
Get some Fruit Loops shakes at Burger King. We are selling them now.
Fruit swirlies, yes.
May I continue, please?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I loved the inventive opening credit sequence with Baby Groot. And I had a pleasant smile on his face. Seeing Drax go completely apeshit, you know, doing the dive bomb inside the creature and just going shit nuts with the knives was hilarious. The insulting that was going on between Star-Lord and Rocket, I was laughing so damn hard. The trash panda joke, I would just, it's like, is that worse? Or is that, no, it's much better. Yeah, it's way worse. You know, just seeing his expression, I was cracking up so much. Seeing that race, the Sovereign, that was like my nightmare version. You know, what would happen if they had actually combined the drone fighting with you know old 80s arcade flight simulations, and the way it sounded was hilarious, and just everything clicked. I mean, there were very, very, very minor unpleasantries for me in this one. What I thought was really cool was how Kurt Russell was looking, you know, was really, really showing off his Snake Plissken hair with the Jack Burton look in the beginning of the movie when they de-aged him. It was kind of disconcerting, but it was really funny to see. And just seeing him being the overall Mac Daddy, so to speak, and being like, oh, that's where Star-Lord gets it. Okay. But I think my favorite character in this movie this time around was Yondu. Michael Rooker just hit it out of the park. I mean, I was really enjoying his interactions with Rocket and Groot when they were trying to break out of the chill on the Ravager ship. Also seeing Rocket take out a shit ton of Ravagers by himself for the most part was also a really cool sequence, showing you that you don't mess with a pissed off trash panda. And Kurt Russell, I was kind of worried how they were going to do him as any kind of version of Ego. And I was highly surprised. And he did a good job, you know, his usual good job, you know, just playing it suave and cool. It worked. There were, like I said, it was good. That's about all I can say. I'll probably think of something else as we go on. But that's all I can think of at the moment. Next,
Brian, our own trash panda. What did you think of Guardians of the Galaxy? What did you like about Guardians of the Galaxy?
There wasn't a whole lot not to like. I will say that the sense of humor is still there, which is great because that was a large part of what made the first movie great. I think that part of what I like about this movie so much is, first of all, Kurt Russell was fantastic as Ego, both before and after the turn. He's just brilliant as Ego. And, you know, in the press junket leading up to this, he'd said, he came up in Hollywood doing movies like this. This was his kind of bag, where it's just like genre sci-fi films. So that's sort of where he lives, and it was sort of a no-brainer, I guess, to get him. But I was really glad he was a part of this. I really dug Ego. I I mean, what can be said? I mean, John pretty much covered Michael Rooker. I thought he was fantastic in this as Yondu. An unexpected turn, but I loved it nonetheless. So I won't spend too much time on that. However, I will say, and I will go on at length, about who I felt was sort of the unsung hero of this movie, Dave Bautista, who I loved as Drax the Destroyer in this. I thought he nailed every single moment of humor he had to. I thought he had very compelling emotional moments when he had to, particularly whenever he's playing off Mantis. I really enjoyed it because I just think there's a trope about wrestlers being bad actors, and to be fair, he's not the most versatile actor. He's a guy who lives in extremes for the most part, but when he needs to, like, draw upon that, and when he nails it. He nails it every time to me. And he can even get some of the more subtle moments. When he's talking with Star-Lord about women who dance and people who don't, and talking about his wife, I thought it was great. It was a quiet moment. It was subtle, but it worked. And I really think Dave Bautista brought sort of his A-game to this one. I really dug him. And I really enjoyed his relationship with Mantis playing off of her. And for that matter, I enjoyed Mantis. I thought she was fun. I thought she was interesting. Obviously not the comic book version of Mantis that we were all hoping for, or at least some of us over the age of 45 were hoping for. But I thought she was cute. I'm looking forward to seeing her kick around a little more. I thought she was nice. And, you know, Rocket and Groot were great in this, as always. They're the dynamic duo of this movie, and I thought they were fantastic. You know, Rocket's still dealing with, you know, being Trash Panda, or, you know, whatever it is he is. And Groot is sort of along with the ride, but he's got that in sort of infantile mindset, so that plays really well. And, Jesus Christ, hang on one second. I want to get this right. I'm actually going to resort to looking it up for just one second. I apologize in advance for...
Fail!
I'm sorry. He's not that significant character, but I liked him.
Fail!
Shut up! I said shut up, you... where is he? Where is he? Sean Gunn. Thank you.
There you
Sean
go.
Gunn. Yeah, Sean Gunn as Kraglin, Yondu second in command. He was great. He really had some nice moments with Yondu, in particular where he like comes to him and he's like, I didn't mean to mutiny, you know, just kind of like, it happens. But I really enjoyed him teaming up with Yondu again. So there was really great buddy-buddy work in this. I thought a lot of the relationships did really, really well in this. There was a lot of focusing on, you know, there was the ensemble, but there were really, really tight relationships in between. Mantis and Drax, Rocket and Groot, Rocket and Yondu, Yondu and Kraglin, and, you know, Kurt Russell playing off Chris Pratt, Star-Lord is always great. So there was a lot of great character work in here, and I really, really dug it. And, of course, the soundtrack is impeccable. I mean, as always. You wouldn't think, because it's not the lightning in the bottle that was the first volume, but it is, in my mind, as good as the first one. It maybe lacks a little something here and there, but it's so good. You wouldn't think they could do it again, but by and large, they do it again. So, but yeah, that's what I got for positives. So,
all right. Well, I thought it was great. I think one of the biggest positives is Yondu, because Yondu was one of the characters I could give a shit about in the first movie, but I kind of really liked his arc from this one where he, you know, his where he starts trying to look for Quill and sort of his turn killing a lot of his men and then helping Quill, realizing it. He may be your daddy, but he ain't shit. What did he say? What was the quote exactly? Shit.
Oh, from the... He may have been your father boy, but he ain't your daddy or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Making your daddy or something like that.
Exactly. And, like, he goes from this scumbag at the beginning of the movie to turning to this big hero, and he gets that hero's memorial at the very end with the fireworks and all the Ravagers there. Like, I thought that was great. Yondu was one of the best characters in the movie. Baby Groot, I was expecting to hate because I figured they'd be played for cutes, but the jokes that they had him in there, the beginning with the whole not paying attention to the fight, but him just being there and trying to get something from Taserface's
Taserface.
Trying to get the fin. And I love that they gave him the original fins. Like that was really cool.
That was a nice little moment.
That whole gimmick was great. Rocket's whole story arc, where basically it mirrors Yondu, how they're both assholes who are self destructive assholes who just push people away. Ultimately, like, no, dude, you don't have to push this away. I like their story arc. I was really surprised on how slow the movie was in comparison to the first movie, because if you watch the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, that movie is boom, 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 end. This movie goes boom, stops, boom, slows for, and this is going to get a little bit into negative, but it slows down a lot in the middle. Like, a good chunk in the middle is very slow. Then it picks up at the very end, boom, boom. So I just found that interesting in how they did that, but I still really enjoyed the movie. And I think the two best jokes, well, the three best jokes, is the Mary Poppins reference. That was just great. The David Hasselhoff, the constant bringing up David Hasselhoff. I know the joke is that you bring up something that means it has to pay off later. I didn't expect a full-on David Hasselhoff cameo. That was just great. And there was one more that I mentioned to you guys off stream that I'm subtly forgetting.
Was it a Yondu joke?
I think it was a Yondu joke. I can't remember exactly.
I forget.
Either way, and to summarize it, Brian, I'm gonna say this right now, and John can probably agree with me. In terms of the wrestling perspective, Dave Bautista delivered the best performance a wrestler has done on screen. And that's including The Rock, who is not a who is a good actor, but like Dave Bautista was just on, as the kids say, on fleek with this with his role. I'm trying to reach our millennial crowd. They listen to the podcast. But I thought Dave Bautista was great. Like, I was really worried about that they would overplay him, but I thought they used him just enough times to where, like, I wasn't sick of him, that when he went away and he came back, it was great. His insults of Mantis, no, I think you're hideous, that, like, he just played it cold, was so hilarious. It was great.
How he kept a straight face half the time, I don't fucking know.
I'll admit that I was glad that they actually gave him more to say, because he didn't really say a whole lot in the first one. He had more of a presence here.
Yeah.
So that was definitely an improvement. The blatant honesty that he gave Mantis, not meaning to be, you know, rude or cold or anything, just like, I think you're hideous. I'm sure you're a nice person, but I think you're a filthy, disgusting beast.
On the inside.
On the inside. That was worth it.
And then Gamora's just sort of like, wait, what? No, you're not disgusting. Stop. And like just that. I even like Nebula, the whole Nebula thing.
I'm glad they brought them back around to not wanting to kill each other. I'm glad that sort of worked itself out.
That the only reason that they even fought each other was because of Thanos, and it was Thanos' whole machinations that made Nebula hateful towards Gamora. Which I thought that was a nice little Star Trek interlude for the middle of the movie. But overall, this movie was fun. Was it perfect? No, we'll get into that in just a minute. But God damn it, I had a good time with the movies. Fucking good time with the movies.
Speaking of bringing stuff back around again, to your point, especially where we learn why Yondu probably really kept Peter around, as opposed to the reason we've been given for 1.5 movies.
That's a continue over from the first movie, which means that was actually nicely done, because you see something in the first one, and you see it realized, and you find out, Yondu might have been, you know, the leader of this fraction of the Ravagers, but yeah, he really wasn't a bad guy, because, see, this is what happened with Peter and everything else. That was actually a nice reveal that wasn't something that felt, well, let's kind of try to rehabilitate the character to make him likable before we kill him. I thought that was well done. Conversely, I didn't think the same thing with Nebula. Nebula being kind of, I just wanted his sister. I sat there and then just stared. Like, really? I thought that was, what, you know, she wanted the woman that, you know, that got raised with her to be Thanos' lead assassin, whatever the fuck, wanted her dead because she'd always kept kicking her ass, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. Let that be that. But then to just kind of, like, turn it a bit. So you see that, you know, she was in mental anguish because she kept getting her ass beat. All she wanted was somebody that cared for her.
She wanted She wanted the Queen song. She wanted somebody to love.
That was much, especially for Nebula. You know, I thought that, you know, maybe it was. I don't know. That threw me. I thought that was much. There was no need for them to go that far. Let her be bad. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what they're going to do, right? They're probably going to kill her in Infinity War. Like, she's probably going to get to Thanos.
Sacrifice
and Thanos herself. Just,
yeah.
Exactly. Oh, no. Thanos is probably just going to snap her neck or something.
That would like, be better. I would buy that more than self-sacrifice.
I would like to see it because, yeah, I want to see Karen dead.
Because I have a feeling that's what they made you care about this character, because she's probably going to have a cameo in Infinity War, tries to foolishly go after Thanos, and then Thanos is like, what are you doing? You're nothing.
But for that matter, I will say I absolutely love the fact that she managed to con her way out of captivity, took the ship, flew right over to Ego, and freaking Gamora is out there, and they're all like, you know, what's that noise? And she looks up, and you see freaking Nebula is headed right for that strafing run, and she's just there, and then just lighting everything up, trying to kill this woman, and still manages to fuck it. But it was nicely done because, you know, there's no fucking way she heard that, and yet she still, there's a disturbance in the force. Let me check my six. Oh shit! Run! I just thought that whole sequence was really, really, really nicely done, and you know.
Who was it? Was it Hitchcock that they aped that from? It felt like, what's that movie? North
Ooh,
by Northwest.
That,
Rearview Window. Or Rearview.
I'm pretty sure it was North by Northwest.
Speaking of, I am just forgetful today. The character we were just talking about, Nebula, I really enjoyed when she goes off to her little soliloquy about getting revenge of Gamora, and then Yondu's second lieutenant's like, oh, I was thinking, you know, maybe a nice dress.
Oh!
Like that. It's just dead. It was too great. It was like, you're going to die right now.
One more quick thing, though. Can we talk about it real quick? The scene... It wasn't long, but the scene where they jump to where Yondu and Rocket and all them jump to where Star-Lord is, and they jump across 700-something dimensions or something like that, and they all flip the fuck out. And
that was some great cartooning.
That in itself was hilarious, but also the cameo inside...
Hold on. We'll get to that in the nerdy
stuff.
We're going to
wait for that. Okay.
We're going to wait to talk about the nerdy stuff at the very end.
Okay, fair enough.
That's why I said the good, the bad, the nerdy to steal from Andre.
Well,
Blackner
we didn't
comedy.
Stick to that the last time, but okay.
Well, we're
going
to stick to... That's because Iron Fist
is... there, you know.
Okay. But either way, I think let's go ahead and get right back into the negatives. I think the... And this is not really a negative for me, but more of like I accepted it, was the second that Yondu showed up, like, I am your father, Peter. I'm like, yeah, you're the villain. Like, something in the back of my head told me Ego wasn't the villain. Like, I thought it was like those big creatures we saw at the beginning of the movie. Those are going to be the end game. But like the second like that didn't happen, like, oh. And then Kurt Russell shows up promising the salvation and shit like that to Peter. This power that he has. I'm like, oh. Yeah, you're the villain, but I didn't care. You can see the twist coming a mile away. I did not care. It's a very predictable plot. The plot is very basic. In a sense, it really doesn't matter to the overall MCU if you think about it, because it didn't really do anything. But considering that the big shit's about to hit the fan with Infinity War next year, I'm kind of okay with that. You know, there was something else. That really and I thought the second half kind of was a little slow. Like, I like some of the jokes, but I feel like the second half was a little bit too long in the tooth at points. So it was like, okay, can we move on a little bit? Considering
probably because they were still trying to build up, like, they were trying to work with Peter dealing with the whole, I have a father leading up to my father just tried to kill everybody, and also just finding out my father killed my mom, so we have to stop my father. Because that was really the whole crux of it. But I agree with you. That took place over a large stretch of time. I think they probably could have condensed that, you know, at least by a quarter, at least. Or maybe
a
third.
It definitely doesn't have the pacing that Guardians of the Galaxy to it. I wish Stallone had a bigger role. That's a negative for me. You know what would be really cool with that final sequence is if the original, because if you don't know this, and this is going to, I know I said we weren't going to get an Avery, but I'm the boss, so you make the rules, that the Stallone was playing Starhawk, and I didn't know that, and you can tell.
Correction, he played Stakar, he's not Starhawk.
Okay, he played whatever. He played Sakaar, who is Starhawk is in the comics. Whatever. You can tell by the little things he has on the shoulder. I said to myself, that looks familiar. What is that supposed to be? The original Guardians of the Galaxy are in this. Martin X, except for Vance Astrovic for obvious reasons.
Who?
Vance Astrovic.
Right.
Yeah, he's the only one not in there. But I thought it would have been cool if, like, Stallone, because all the Ravagers show up at that planet. I thought it would have been great if, like, you had them all on the same screen. I mean, granted, that would have required more scenes, at least one more scene with the Ravagers, but you already established that, like, Yondu has this personal relationship with this guy, so, you know, why not just have him and those guys show up? That way, you get the audience gets these cool looking characters doing cool things at the end of the movie, and then, you know, you and all four of us know who those are, so it's even double for us. So I thought that would have been a nice thing, but they probably just wanted to keep it focused solely on the current iteration of Guardians of the Galaxy. I thought the soundtrack was a little weaker in comparison to the first one. Like, it didn't, like, I don't remember it as much having seen it a week later versus when I first saw Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one. I can tell you, I know when the music cues are. As much as Batista had a presence in that second act, he didn't really do much. Like, he doesn't really have. He had a
but
presence
that whole
overall.
Shoot, most of them, though.
Yeah.
A whole lot. So, I mean, while you can point to him and say, yeah, he didn't do much, aside from Gamora and Nebula's thing, the rest of them really didn't do a whole lot either.
Yeah, even Peter was just reacting to Yondu a lot of time. I mean, not Yondu, Ego the entire time. But I don't have a lot of complaints with this movie. It's not a perfect movie. It meanders a little bit too much. I think that's my biggest crime with it. It meanders a little bit too much in the middle. And in a nerdy nitpicky thing, it doesn't really impact the MCU other than killing a celestial being in Ego the Living Planet. But it doesn't. Overall, it was a fun time of the movies. Like, I think I still like the first one more, but I think there's a lot to love about the second movie. Let's go to Taser.
I am so over the old soundtrack. The music, and there were two good tunes that they used, one of which they used in the damn trailer, and the rest of this was just more old, feely-good music. Fuck that! I'm a 70s kid, but I don't need like 9/10 of the fucking soundtrack to be from, you know, 1975. My God, you know, put something in there a little more like age relevant for Peter. You know, Peter was listening to shit that was older than him. Get the fuck out of here. Also, I know I wasn't gonna get the fight that I expected considering who Ego was supposed to be. And let me just say this, we actually did get to see Ego's face. Okay?
Uh-huh.
They did
yep.
that. I was hoping and praying they would do that. I was ready to lay flame if they didn't, but they gave it to us. I got nothing to say. The fact that Ego recognized that they were tunneling for his brain and he did nothing, absolutely nothing, to stop it, aside from fight Peter and move stuff. He didn't think to move his brain. I just, you know, kind of sat there and went, really? Okay, duh. But that's like more of a writing thing more so than a movie thing. I thought, believe it or not, I thought, what's his name, Drax? Drax laughed way too fucking much. I'm sorry. There was way too much funny for him in this film. It actually, it annoyed me. It didn't really distract from the movie too much, but it was like, okay, yeah, I got that here, and okay, yeah, he's laughing here, but it was like almost every other conversation he had a laugh at. That just seemed much for me. Thankfully, there wasn't a whole lot between Gamora and Peter, because to be perfectly honest, that whole moonlighting bullshit, yeah, I didn't want to see a whole lot of that. You know, fucking Bruce Willis and Sybil Shepherd. Either do it once and then move on from it, or reference it once and move on from it. But it was, you know, it was more so seen a lot more in the first one, not so much here. That was kind of good. I kind of wish that they hadn't used Ving Rhames for Charlie 27 because I looked at Ving Rhames and went, who the fuck is that? And I actually had to stick around and went and go, oh, he's Charlie 27? Okay, yeah, diversity now. And Krugar is not an original Guardians of the Galaxy member. Just putting that out there. Not really a nitpick, but, you know, whereas Iggy's thought that he had seen the big guys and figured that they would be the bad guys for the movie, unfortunately, when you watch the movie, the first scene kind of tells you who the big bad is when Ego and the mom go into the forest and you see that weird fucking plant that he's like, oh, this is going to be a great game. It's going to change everything. And it's like, if you've never seen a sci-fi movie before, then yeah, you wouldn't get that. Having seen a shit ton of them, it's quite clearly, oh, that's going to be a problem later on. And sure enough, it was a huge problem later on, especially for the fucking gawkers who went, hey, this big thing that was eating up everything, stop. Let us stand here and take photos of it. Ah, oh my God, I wanted to scream. So, yeah, I think that about covers the shit that bothered me. Still like the movie.
All right, John, are you gonna? What did you not like about Guardians of the Galaxy numero doce?
Mantis. I was just like, call her something else. That was not Mantis at all, in any way, shape, or form, other than with the little things on her forehead. And I was just like, I was like, okay, I agree. MCU gonna be different. But I was like, oh my God, she was Mino, Mantis in name only. And her empathic abilities was woefully underused. You only got a very minor clue at how badass she could be when she made Gamora, you know,
fall asleep. Yeah.
Yeah. Fall asleep slash, you know, make her scared to, you know, the shit up. And then she should have just turned around and unloaded a can of whoop ass on her like, you know, she would have in the comics. And they didn't. They had to have her be the little ha 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 ha. And I was like, oh God. And other than that, other than trying to figure out what Stallone was trying to channel, you know, not a big complaint, but I mean, I swear he was channeling his Expendables character, but also doing Judge Dredd. And I half expected him to go, I am Jigsaw, or I am Starhawk, you know, something.
I am the Ra.
Yeah. But it was cool to see Michelle Yeoh pop up in there. I'm always happy to see her in anything. But woefully, again, underused. And Charlie 27, yeah, I was like, who the hell? And other than that, really, again, it was a good movie. I really enjoyed it. That was, you know, those were fairly minor nitpicks, but Mantis really grated on me. And it will probably grate on me for the next 5 years. I don't know. I mean, okay, let's just say this. It makes Olivia Munn's Psylocke much better in comparison.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Holy shit.
And we all know how I felt about that when we did our review for X-Men Apocalypse. So there's a positive right there, I guess. You know. Other than that, I did drag into a little couple of places here and there. The middle was a little soft, but you know that's going to happen. They actually had to do more actual character development this time around than they did in the first one, so it didn't flow as, you know, smooth as you might have expected. But, you know, hey. And one thing other, we got to see Howard the Duck again. You got to love that. And my complaint on that is not enough of Howard the Duck. But that's just me.
What was the line he busted out on that chick at the bar?
Once you go duck, you can never.
Once you go duck, you're out of luck or something like that?
Yeah,
or
pretty much. Like that. And which I was like, yep, that's Howard.
Okay.
Like I said, go ahead, sir.
No. I'm just, you know, we passing the baton.
Okay. I'm getting ready to. Yeah, pretty much. That was all my gripes. Man has sucked ass.
Made Don't tell you how you really feel, good. John.
You know, she used to be a prostitute, so she probably actually did do that.
Likely. Well, she was doing
that. Even prostitutes have lines. If she did, she got a lot of money for it.
Oh, she was doing lines. She was doing lines all right for ego. Yeah. She was doing ego's lines.
You know, and hold on. That's something that I didn't get. He said that she was there. Rather, I think she said that she was there because she helped him sleep.
No, he found her in larval form, and she just happens to help him sleep with her empathic abilities or something like that.
Because it was just kind of like
she said, found her when she was a baby, so that's sort of what that's been. So it's not just he just found her because she just happens to help him sleep. That's not what we're dealing with.
Okay, because it was, you know, I didn't think of that. It didn't really kind of like.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because even she seemed like she looked like, what do you call it, those people that are with the kidnapper? It was like, yeah, everything's all nice. See, please take me. Thank you. Please take me. Please take me away from here.
I thought she was afraid of him. I mean, she seemed like.
Oh, yeah. No, she was. Clearly she was. But she just didn't have the wherewithal to run on her own.
Their relationship wasn't that clear cut in the movie.
Yeah, that didn't help her case any. Mm-hmm. I would have loved if they had even made her half the badass like she is in the comics, and like have a brief fighting scene with her and between Nebula and Gamora.
Would have been nice.
But I knew that wasn't going to happen because she's such a piece of shit character in the movie. Anyway, I'm done.
She's harmless, you ass.
Until she touches you and tells you what to do.
Well, I mean, most women do that anyway, and I go along with it, so, you know.
Okay,
Bowser. Right. Yeah. Oh, fuck you. that wasn't even. Sarah didn't even come. Never mind.
Just go on. Sorry.
What didn't I like? First and foremost, at the top of my list, the Sovereign. Fucking forgettable as all hell. Annoying as the shit. I could not stand them. I thought they were In fact, mostly across the board, the villains were the weakest part of this movie. Both them and Taserface. I didn't like Taserface one damn bit. I thought he was cliched, up the yin-yang.
I think that's his point.
Seriously supposed to be the point.
Doesn't make it any better. I still didn't like it. I thought it was lame. But Taserface was passable because, you know, they got some decent laughs and chuckles out of it. But Sovereign pissed me off because they were just so... Well, I mean, I guess that's not fair. Pissing me off is the wrong word. They're forgettable.
Aryan?
They're meh. Aryan? Well, I mean, they're gold. I don't know about...
They were golden. They went past golden, but they were golden children. You know, I mean...
Let me just say, I don't think there was a single white woman under any...
They love gold!
Yeah!
So, as far as that goes, though, yeah, the Sovereign were one of the weakest points in the movie for me. I thought they were kind of blah and forgettable, and I didn't really...
You didn't like Aisha? You did not like Aisha?
Not one damn bit. Not one damn bit. I would have liked... One of my biggest gripes is that there should have been more character work in this one for the characters who didn't get all that much screen time. For example, I thought if they'd expanded on Stacker, Sylvester Stallone, and Yondu's relationship just a little bit more, and given Stacker maybe just a little bit more screen time beforehand, that would have been better. Also, personally, I mean, one of Yondu's loyal guys, the dude who they focus on that gets spaced by Taserface and his crew when they first get dragged back onto the ship, played by an actor I immensely enjoy. I would have liked him to get more screen time, but that's just a personal thing with me.
But he got that nice long death look as floated out and then stopped in place.
He did get a moment. I'll give him that. But I just thought it was funny because. I don't know if any of you watch Sons of Anarchy, but he's in that show, and he plays almost the exact same role to a legit, you know.
Oh, he's Charlie Hunnam?
No, he's a Scotsman, Chibs.
No, that's King Arthur.
Yeah, King Arthur.
Same thing.
Nah, Chibs is the Scottish dude who's in that show.
Oi, Faith and Big Aura.
That's... whatever.
Swahili, I know, Swahili.
Yeah, exactly. What else didn't I like? There wasn't a whole lot. I actually came around. I initially didn't like the Gamora Peter angle, but I grew to be okay with it. And I'll actually defend it against you motherfuckers if I have to. But, yeah, I will. I will say, even though I'm not a real scholar of the character, I don't think they should have killed Ego outright. I don't think they really should have or should have been able to. I think that he should have been set up for the long haul. I really think he should have stuck around. And I could have thought there was a better way to handle it, you know? Like, for barring the whole I gave your mother cancer thing, which was a jackass move.
And that's what Ego would have done.
If they...
That was the biggest, oh, you done fucked up in a movie I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
It's what turned, because I was sitting in the theater, and the second he said that, the moms and the children who were in that fucking theater all gasped audibly, and everyone's like, and to be fair, I made the same move. I'm like, no shit. So that turn was necessary, I think, for selling Ego as a villain. But that being said, if you held that back, I feel like you could have maybe redeemed him and set him up for a longer exposure. But that would have been an entirely different end to that story. So I'm not sure if that would have worked as well. But I don't know. I just felt like there was a better way to handle Ego, and they didn't quite find it. But that being said, I still enjoyed the fact that they used him, you know? What else did I like? There was... Yeah, I mean, like I said, the whole thing between Yondu and his crew, maybe, I don't know. That was fine, I guess, but Nebula also kind of grated on me a little bit because that seemed like a 180. So I don't know.
It did.
Her doing an about face on the matter was, I understand, you know, Thanos is the real evil here, and that was what they were trying to sell, and it went over because, you know, everyone was like, well, they turned those two women against each other. Yeah, okay, what the fuck ever. But look, she was gunning hard for Gamora last week. Like, destroy a planet with an Infinity Stone level heart. You don't get over that shit by confronting daddy issues, okay? That's not... I don't think that's how it should have worked. I think we could have kept her in the back pocket as a decent villain going forward. Again, I feel like the weakest part of this movie is really in the villains. I mean, Sovereign, Nebula's little about-face on the matter of, I wanted to kill my sister. No, actually, I just want her around. That's really all I need. And, again, Taserface, while funny in moments, was out and out kind of pointless to the overall plot, but hey, whatever. But yeah, I mean, like I said, the villain work was kind of meh, and Nebula's little about face I wasn't really crazy about, but yeah, what are you gonna do? Yeah, that's really all that I had. That's all I got.
All right, let's go on to the nerdy. God damn it, Andre! Don't sue us. So yeah, let's talk about the Watchers. The Watchers are officially a thing in the Marvel Universe.
The Big Heads.
And I love that. That's where the Stanley cameo was. Like, I started laughing like crazy. I wish he was a Watcher. Like, he was like in full costume, not like just a person they happened to come upon. But I thought that was funny. I thought that was great. What did y'all think about the Watchers having a brief cameo in this
movie? Did you notice one of them had an eye patch?
No, it went by too fast for me, and that was a week ago. I didn't remember.
Oh, dear God, no, let's not go there.
Are you joking?
I'm joking.
He's joking.
Okay, I was like, that would have been hilarious.
Bastard.
I was going, oh, yes, they're not encumbered by Fantastic Four trademarks. Yes! And, Bucky Fox, give him the Fantastic Four back. Anyway, that was hilarious. It was good, and I'm glad they had him looking like the Watchers. You know?
Yeah.
They look like the Watchers.
And Stan Lee is an agent of the Watchers, apparently, or something akin to it, where he's just reporting back on the things he's seen, which...
And I thought it was even funnier is that he even mentioned the at one point I was a mailman, and I was like, wow, you actually mentioned a Fantastic Four.
What's his name? Willie
Lumpkin.
Yeah,
Willie Lumpkin.
He actually, you know, mentioned in a roundabout way, Fantastic Four film. So I was like, yay! All right. Maybe they're going, hey.
So let's talk about the other one. The fact that they've managed to fit in the original Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, Taser would like an asterisk affixed to that phrase, please.
Same here.
Well, an homage to the original Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
in this movie.
Fair enough. So we have Sly Stallone as Stacker Ogard, who is apparently
Starhawk. Call him by his real name.
Well,
he is
real
Starhawk.
Name's Dakar.
Yeah, the car.
Michelle Yeoh and Ving Rhames, Michael Rosenbaum as the crystalline fella, Martin X.
Martin X, yep.
Yep, and Miley Cyrus as the voice of Mainframe, and we got Krugar.
I completely missed that. I didn't even hear her voice. At least I didn't process it.
Yeah.
So, damn it.
So, also,
can we get a spinoff with these characters? Seriously?
Taser, John, you guys are old school. Tell us what you think this means, because it looks like they're linking up to steal some shit. And what would you like to see going forward, I guess, with the classic Guardians?
I'll say this. I want to see freaking Stallone turn into Starhawk. Shit.
Yeah, if they're gonna bring them back in like that, I would like to see a full out, yo, I'm Starhawk now.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would also like to see them pop up in one of the movie, you know, one of the other MCU films, and I want to see Michelle Yeoh go badass, you know, like she has done.
Can you imagine her going badass and with the light powers that Alita had?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Charlie 27, you know, I'm sorry, because they went and pulled a color change on Charlie 27, I had no fucking clue who he was supposed to be. I mean, on top of also the outfit not really matching, you know, nothing what we saw on screen said, hi, I'm Charlie 27.
I wondered where the Lucha mask was when I realized who it was. I'm like, isn't there a mask with that? Or some
he
sort
used
of
to wear a mask, and when they did Valentino's run, he kind of ditched it. You know,
yeah,
which
but
was
that
would have
been the easiest way to identify him.
Agreed. No. Yeah. You're 100% correct. But I think that they could have done something else, like give him like the bullet links, the bullet chain thing, and like heavy guns, because that's something that Charlie did, you know, and like a big open sleeve vest, whatever the fuck, you know, something, yeah. Something there, but they just kind of put him, hey, look, here's this big old fucking corduroy jacket and pants thing. And let's give you a bit of a tummy. Look like a chocolate Santa Claus without the
festive
colors.
Oh, so was he just really tall, or was everyone else really fucking short? Because he seemed to tower over those dudes.
And,
yeah, I don't
and
know.
That's the other point. Charlie 27 is not tall.
Yeah.
They pulled a Wolverine on him. They made him bigger than he should have been. You know, Charlie 27 is actually like, what, maybe 5'5"? Five,
yeah,
four.
he's like a short chunk, you know.
Yeah, he's not as short.
He's
as
a boulder.
Puck, but he's a boulder. He's not a tall person.
Like
no
Puck,
Nicky.
Kinda. Mine,
no,
yeah,
not even
dwarfism.
Not even like Puck.
No, not as short as Puck though. Not
yeah,
as
yeah, I know. Mine's minus the. Never mind.
Oh right. You're right.
Due to the heavy gravity of Jupiter, that's why he was so short and stocky. Mm. That's how they were. How he,
you know,
came about.
Yeah, think mini tank with flesh.
Yep.
You know, Martin X, I picked him out. Yeah, you didn't even have to say anything. I knew who the fuck that was.
Which,
he didn't do anything.
By the way, Michael Rosenbaum, a.k.a. voice of Wally West on Justice League Unlimited, was Martin X. Yeah, same dude. Same dude under all that CGI, which I thought was great.
Because
I love Michael Rosenbaum as an actor, too. That's Lex Luthor. I'm going to go to my grave saying that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember the other guy that, you know, kind of did the Doctor Strange stuff.
Krugar.
Okay, yeah, he was from the Valentino run later on.
Yeah,
I
picked him up automatically.
I, okay,
like, oh,
I thought so.
They got Krugar, oh my God. And didn't even have to think hard on the name. It was right there, you know?
That's the kind of shit you remember. Krugar!
Yeah.
Worm magician guy, the weird silent-looking guy.
Him and Doctor Strange can team up in Infinity War.
That would be awesome. Oh, that would be awesome.
Speaking of bad Russian accents, Cosmo showed up for a hot second in the credits, which I thought was fantabulous.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
It's
always fun to see Cosmo.
Always,
you know,
great to see Cosmo.
That's probably my favorite, most recent addition to the Guardians lineup post Secret Wars, you know? And just the idea of a Russian Cosmo dog with telepathic powers and an attitude. You got to applaud that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Why did you let him lick him in your face? He just, that's gross.
No, because he drinks vodka.
I know, I'm quoting Harry.
Right, fair enough.
Looks at Lockjaw and says, "Are you God?" And just kind of like, huh, all right. But yeah, sorry if you want to keep going on about the original Guardians, but I just remembered Cosmo showed up, and I'm like, Cosmo! And come on, who doesn't love Cosmo?
No, even though it didn't have Nikki, they did a color change on Charlie 27, and they fucking killed Yondu, damn it. I thought it was a nice bit of an aside, you know, it was a tip of the hat. Didn't have Vance Astrovic, but okay, that's fine, whatever. And can we talk about the last one, or are we waiting
for... Yeah,
I was going to wait, yeah,
okay,
so let's go ahead. I was going to bring
go
it up. So let's talk about, Aisha and her golden followers.
Aisha.
They, not real lie, that movie, that whole set behind their characters remind me of what, like I was watching Flash Gordon, like real talk.
I was going to say that, damn you.
It was just like,
fucker.
Oh my god, you can do Flash Gordon like that in the modern day and still make it look fun. Give me a Flash Gordon reboot that looks like that. Please.
See,
I don't want
they
those...
should have used Queen in this movie. It should
know,
have had
maybe
a Queen
it's a
song.
The only reason
the
I can think of... Yeah, Queen apparently is very stingy about what rights get to use.
This movie probably cost over $200 million. They tell me they couldn't afford it.
It could...
I didn't
no,
say
not afford
sense.
It, but it's... I never said afford it. I said
not you.
It,
I'm
talking about
my okay, fair enough. License
okay.
They might not have been.
I didn't say it made sense. I'm just saying, all right? Because one thing
but
I'll
point
say
is
that most of these songs are plucked from obscurity.
Shut up!
Oh, Jesus.
The point is that after Sovereign's defeat at the hands of the Guardians and their loss at Ego the Living Planet, they reveal that Aisha's been working on her newest creation and that he shall call it Adam. So yeah, we are confirmed to be getting Adam Warlock in either Infinity War, because that just seems logical.
They've already said not Infinity War. He'll be shown.
Well,
he'll be showing up in Guardians 3.
Okay, well that's disappointing.
Yeah,
but either way, we are confirmed to be getting Adam Warlock, hopefully played by Matthew McConaughey, to be an actual thing in the near future, which is pretty... that's pretty cool that we're getting Adam Warlock.
So, can I ask a question then?
Yes.
I have one question. Okay, well, two questions. What the fuck is making John laugh like that?
I think Adam Warlock is making him laugh like that.
Oh, God,
funny. He looks like Adam Warlock anyway, so let's fucking do it.
No matter how old I get, Thanos always stays the same.
Hey, Thanos.
Come on.
All right. It's time to throw you back into the box, baby. All right.
But one question, though. So if the big metal cocoon is Adam, what's the green fleshy one that we saw in the last what the fuck was that? Was it Thor 2 or The Last Guardian?
It was The Guardians with the Collector. And that's probably a continuity error, if I had to guess.
Why would it be an error?
Because they probably referenced Adam before they really had an idea in mind of how to present Adam. So they're like... Because I think James Gunn actually confirmed, because he's a huge Warlock fan. He actually said he almost threw Adam Warlock into this movie, but the movie became all about Adam Warlock after that, and so he had to cut him out of the movie, you know, kill your darlings type thing. But I think he actually confirmed the cocoon might have been Adam Warlock in the last one, too, which I posed
here.
Because...
So could that... They could always just say it. Maybe that's actually her, you know? Because even though what's her name, Aisha is her, Kismet, or what, the other fucking she had like four names. Maybe they might pull something off. Maybe kind of sort of.
We'll see.
But
the point is, we're getting Adam Warlock.
Oh yeah, and the next one, yeah. I can't wait to see that. And
I kind of hope they're bullshitting and that we actually will get Adam and Warlock in some fashion in Infinity War Part 2.
I mean,
I feel like...
Maybe. I mean, I don't think James Gunn has final say in whatever happens to Marvel Cinematics.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, he can say all he wants. Adam Warlock can say play a factor in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Although, tell me how great it would be if Adam Warlock shows up in the third Guardians of the Galaxy, like, I'm here to confront Thanos! And they're like, we already kind of took care of Thanos. He just stands there like, fuck!
That's why Matthew McConaughey just plays it like McConaughey. There you go.
All right.
He's got to have like a what do you call it? Those broken seashell necklaces You know, to go with the whole beach bum thing.
here's the weird thing about Matthew McConaughey, though, because y'all are giving him this beach aesthetic. He's from Texas. That's the weird thing.
Where Adam Warlock is from Texas.
Beach Boy. He plays Beach Boy.
I know. It's just funny to me that, like, everybody gives him the surfer thing. Like, he's straight up from Austin, Texas. He's straight up a Texan, which is crazy. That's just funny.
And he was on King of the Hill.
Yeah.
He played a beach bum.
He probably grew up in Galveston. Either way, any final thoughts on Adam Warlock being in the movie? Being a thing?
You know what? Because the MCU has done a big job for the most point of underplaying characters and, like, really strong characters, I'm not looking for Adam Warlock to be the badass that, we know him to be. I bet you we're not going to see that. He'll probably be something that might smack them around a bit, but it's not going to be, oh, fuck, it's Adam Warlock. It's going to be, oh, shit, it's Adam Warlock. All right. But that being the case, I'm still looking forward to it because I want them to do it. You know, at least we get him in here and, you know, saying they do it, he'll probably end up in Infinity War, and then we get to see him, you know, hopefully go up against Thanos, and that might be the big fight.
I want to see Pip the Troll versus Rocket. That would be funny.
I don't think you're going to get Pip the Troll. I think that might be a little too far from Marvel.
I would
to go
love
to
see Pip the Troll. Oh, my God.
I wish I knew what you all were talking about.
You don't know who Pip the... I'm going...
You've read Infinity Gauntlet, right?
Warlock and Infinity Watch. Read that.
Yeah, I mean, I read Infinity Gauntlet a while ago. I don't remember a Pip the Troll character.
He's in it.
Okay.
He's in it.
Okay.
Gamora's in it, too.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
He's like, okay. All right.
Hey, Brian, do you have any other final thoughts? Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, let's conclude this episode. Thank you for listening. As for the show...
You. God,
I had to. It was perfect.
Let me... God damn it.
So, I have an important announcement to make about the scheduled release of the show. Starting next week, starting with this episode going forward, we'll be going on a bi-weekly schedule. So that means we'll be meeting up every 2 weeks. So you're going to get an episode every 2 weeks, just because work has been crazy stressful, and also other stuff that I do on the internet is taking a lot of time, too, that I could use a week off for. So just because I'm taking a week off doesn't mean... So basically, you're going to get every 2 weeks, and that is a promise. Shit, even if, like, none of these guys can show up, I will at least do a 30-minute podcast talking about Marvel news and comics. All right, you will have something out every 2 fucking weeks. That's going to happen. So next week there won't be a show. In 2 weeks we'll come back, we'll talk about Secret Empires, issues 1 and 2, and all that good jazz. I'm not making these fuckers reading, I'm just saying we will talk about it because I'll probably want to review them. any last words before we go, gentlemen, for the evening?
Man, it sucks.
Probably feel good if she did.
I'm saying now, and I just realized this as we were talking, the destruction of the fucking Dairy Queen and the surrounding area back on Earth, we probably missed the Nathan Fillion as Simon Williams cameo somewhere in there, and that kind of pisses me off.
Yeah, that was cut.
That was
cut from the movie.
The fact that they cut that out. But yeah, otherwise, 2 thumbs up. Go see it. I mean, it's not like you're not going to see it. It's going to make all the money in the fucking world, but hey.
I want to thank everybody on Comics Amino who liked the show when I posted it last week. Thank you for that. I'd also like to thank the people who liked my my memoriam for Stanley Weston, the guy who created the G.I. Joe figure and, you know, had a hand in the cartoon and then creating the Thundercats also. Thank you for showing the love. I'll be posting this show as soon as I also have to post the Iron Fist show, which got delayed, but, you know, I managed to get that out there, and I'll be posting that on Comics Amino, too. So thank you for the love. I hope to be bringing you more. Hopefully you guys will enjoy it as much as the other stuff. You know, see you on CA.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening, and we will see you all in 2 weeks for another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast. Until then... I'm Adam Warlock. And you all stay Marvel.
I am Groot.
I am Groot. I'm not boring.
I am the night.